This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldone. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 257 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
We are thrilled to have you here with us. If you love listening each week, please support our sponsors because they support us. Be sure to use our unique URL and promo codes and get some great deals. And don't forget to subscribe in Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and leave some feedback too. We'd love to hear from you. So this week, before we return to our drums, not Dragonfly, in Amber. Oh, drums of Autumn.
Drums in Amber.
Drums in Amber. Drums in Amber. You know that Amber over there?
That's not the book. That's not any of the books.
Before we return to our Drums of Autumn read-along, we have something more from Comic-Con 2018 to share, and that is our second official Outlander fan panel called Outlandish Confabulation.
So the only announcement that I think there is this week, and we don't do announcements that often anymore in the off-season, is that the new season 4 trailer came out. And if you are a member of our group, or if you're not, you should be, but if you're a member of our group on Facebook, outlanderpod.com/groups.
It's singular, not plural, but yeah,
.com/group. If you go there, we had a live video, and we haven't done one in a while, but we did a live video to chat about the new trailer for season 4 that came out. And if you haven't had a chance to, you should skip over there and check it out. And forewarning, spoilers abound. And that also is a forewarning that we'll give you for today's Comic-Con panel that we're bringing to you in this episode. Spoilers abound. So, and it's not just spoilers for this season. I think some of the things we went kind of deep. So if you haven't read all of the books, you might not want to. You might be ready to be spoiled. I don't know.
I know I brought up something from book 8. So the description in our in the catalog or in the programming for Comic-Con says join hosts blah 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 is all of our names for a no holds bar discussion about books, TV show, everything in between. So yeah, there are no holds barred. We don't set out to like spill everything, but we have to have a clear, free space in order to discuss and speculate freely. Because if you are trying to worry about things about, oh my gosh, we can only do up to book 3, when did that happen? No, it's too much. So we decided for that very space, for that limited space of time, we would have no holds barred. And it's been fun. And people have returned, and there are a number of people who came to both. So yeah. So without any further ado, here is our second official San Diego Comic-Con Outlander fan panel. Okay. With that, I think we have to say hello and welcome to the second official Outlander fan panel of San Diego Comic-Con. Thank you guys so much for coming. And a few of you, I know I saw a few faces here that were here, and people told us that they were here last year. So you guys have been to all 2. we're so excited. So quickly, introductions. My name is Ginger Weissman. I'm the co-host and producer of the Outlander podcast.
My name is Sarah Kaizak, and I am the owner and writer on Outlander TV News.
Hi, I'm Summer Reynolds. I am the co-host of the Outlander podcast. That one's my sister.
I'm Mandy Tidwell, and I did, or still do, Great Scott Blog when they deign to put Gaelic in the episodes anymore. It seems as the seasons go on, the Gaelic's kind of gone down. But yeah, I have a lot of the translations for the first couple of seasons for the Gaelic on my blog.
Okay, so the first thing is kind of a little bit of a recap of season 3. Not necessarily episode by episode, but things from or about season 3. Let's start with, what was your favorite episode, ladies? Should I go first or go last?
You can go.
Go. Oh, Lord. I think it has to be... Oh, God. Okay, I'll go last. Sarah.
You'd think we hadn't discussed this.
I missed that discussion. I'm sorry.
Mine would be the first episode. I always like the first episodes. The first episode of the first season is probably one of my favorites all time. So first episode, third, season three.
I'm going to butt back in. Sorry. Yes. Agreed. Number one. First season.
My favorite episode is a combination of the end of the episode before Print Shop and Print Shop. And then it goes kind of uphill and then maybe a little downhill after that. But it peaks for me right at the end of the episode before Print Shop and then Print Shop.
Yeah. My favorite is Of Lost Things, because is there anything more heartbreaking and sad than watching Jamie ride away from Little Willie and that whole thing, and that the way that episode builds, and it's pulling on your heartstrings, and by the time the song plays, you know, third and fourth watching, I'm still crying. So.
And Bear McCreary and Willie's theme? Come on. Okay, that's really loud, Ginger.
I love Bob Dylan.
Or pretty much anything Bear does, basically. Song. Okay, you guys, what's your favorite episode? Have a few people come up and tell us. Nobody?
We have a mic. Which one? Yeah. First one?
Oh, it's the mic right here if you want to stand up.
Let's see, because of the ones we picked, how many people's favorite episode is the first one?
Yeah. So
first one was good, but for me, if I had to listen to him breathe any longer, I was going to, like, lose it. So, there needs to be more going on than just breathing.
That was the soundtrack of the episode, the first
episode.
And
I will say, by the time it aired, I'd already seen it, like three or four times. And so I can't listen to this anymore. How many people Print Shop?
Print Shop.
Okay, a lot of Print Shop.
Okay, so a lot more.
Yeah. How many people have lost things? Cool. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Four and five?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 and 5 was good.
Okay, where are my doldrums people at? Ooh. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Please, favorite episode.
Yeah, I was like, are we ever getting off the damn boat? But I have to say, as much as I love the books, that particular section of the book's not my favorite part of the book either, so.
Okay, and then, so just a heads up, I've read it. I know these things. I've read the books. I've seen the show, all the blah, blah, blah. So I'm going through our little, like, order of operations of things we're going to talk about. And the next thing is just a question.
We might have made up this list while,
do we like
while
Brie
Ginger
yet?
Wasn't there last night.
The question is, do we like Brie yet?
Because, you know, Brie is a slow burn for a lot of people.
Brie, okay, at least in the books, Brie's a polarizing figure. Some people never get on the Brie bus. Some people are on the Brie bus. And some people like myself who, once it gets to, okay, read the books, no spoiler warnings, right? Book 7, I'm on the Brie bus. Yeah. Book 8, badass mama jama. Yeah. Brie is like, out of my way, I want her as a bestie.
I want her to invent stuff for me.
Yes, oh Lord, please. That's true. Okay, I correct myself. I start to get on the Brie bus on the Ridge. Not right away, but when she's like so, her knowledge and ability is so instrumental in helping them live a slightly easier life, mm-hmm. even if it's just a smidge bit easier. So, do you guys like Brie yet?
I still don't like Brie.
Is it the character who's playing her or Brie herself?
Brie in the books, for sure. Brie in the books.
That's a good point to make.
I didn't know if I was going to like her more when the series started. I don't. But I could. I mean, the series is not completely the books, so there is a way in which I could like Brie more. I'm hoping for that.
What don't you like about her?
I don't even know.
Let her count the ways.
She's... So many of the things she does feel really petulant, and I know she is still a teenager when we first meet her, so it's par for a course with that. But it seems like it feels a really long time for her to stop being that character.
Skip meal planning and get straight to the cooking with Blue Apron. Enjoy meals like cheeseburgers with spicy slaw and seared chicken with tangy barbecue sauce. With incredible ingredients and chef-designed recipes, Blue Apron lets you see the power of what food can do.
That's something I'm looking forward to, of course, vegetarian that I am, is the saffron pasta. And maybe even the creamy corn and poblano flatbread. I love the fact that Blue Apron just has so many possibilities, and you can set it up to excluding certain proteins. You don't want fish. You don't want poultry. You don't want beef. You can select what you want or don't want to include.
No. And, you know, the vegetarian dishes aren't just for the vegetarians. I have some weeks where
They're hearty.
They're hearty. And sometimes they're the meals that they have what are called 30-minute meals. So they're the ones that, you know, you can throw together relatively quickly, which, trust me, on the nights that I get home from work and I don't feel like cooking, those are a godsend for me. I love that they have seasonally inspired ingredients. So the produce that you're going to be getting is going to be what's coming out of the ground right now, what's being harvested straight from the fields. So it's not going to be hothouse strawberries or hothouse tomatoes or things that are being grown out of season. So you may hit the summer months where there is squash in everything. Everything is squash. Get ready for squash, people. But you know that that's what's the best right now. So they build their menus based upon what's going to taste the freshest and what's going to taste the best with what is available from the fields.
So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/outlander. That's blueapron.com/outlander to get your first three meals free.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
To me, it's a combination of she's really hard-headed, and I think the problem is I'm a little hard-headed myself, and so I don't like seeing it that much in somebody else. And the other thing is she doesn't seem to appreciate what she has in Roger, you know, in the next. I'm like, how do you not appreciate that? Because that's pretty, I love Jamie, don't get me wrong, but I know Jamie's out of my league. You kind of feel like, Roger, you might find a Roger in real life. And when you do, you need to appreciate him. I mean, I love Jamie. Don't get me wrong. We all love Jamie, but I don't walk down every street thinking, oh, is Jamie around the corner? I keep an eye out for Roger.
Well, he could be busking on a street corner.
Maybe so.
That's true.
Yep. Question?
I'm just to go on everything. I think this is the slow maturation process. Like, she gets there, and then she doesn't appreciate sort of the finer things that even her mom, like tells her, you know, about getting when she's pregnant without Roger, when Roger's not.
Yeah.
And she can't.
Yeah.
There are no spoilers here.
No,
it's okay. Yes.
Yeah.
There's, you know, she doesn't appreciate like her dad is trying to help. Maybe I don't know. But it took her a long time.
In all fairness, how many of us all thought we knew everything when we were in our late teens? You know, because you're getting out of school, you're going off to college, and I'm sure we were very annoying. We just didn't. Nobody wrote books about us.
Some of us still.
Yeah, I say I'm aging backwards, so I'm working back that way.
You have a question?
Well, I was just
going to
say that you know,
Roger
is just like Jamie. He's just like Manny said. You know, we were all pretty know-it-all when we were teenagers. Plus, within about a 2 to 3 year span, her father has died. Her mother has gone off on this so-called wild goose chase to find somebody that she knows nothing about. And now she discovers that her mother, eventually discovers that her mother's story about traveling back to the 1700s is really true, and the father she thought was her father really wasn't her biological father. And now mom's going to go back and find this guy from the 1700s.
Yeah.
Well, essentially dead to her.
Right. Well, essentially said, I love him more than I love you. I mean, kind of. That's the way it really is.
Saying, I took care of you. Frank and I took care of you for 18 or 20 years, and now it's my time to really have fun. Well, she definitely did have sex with Frank, even though TV shows that she didn't.
Yeah, well, adaptation. We have to have it tattooed on my arm.
I was in my 50s when my mother died, and, you know, that took a long time for me to get over. You know, you kind of have to think about all the changes that went on in her life, and she really had no one except Roger.
Exactly. Which is why she should appreciate him.
She doesn't appreciate him like he would, but she's also struggling, dealing with mourning and then mourning again and then being happy because she finds her father, but then being unhappy because she's pregnant and she doesn't know who is the father of the baby.
Well, let's not get too specific for people, Heaven.
Agreed. I think.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, completely. There's a lot more than just. Yeah. Bree bugs me, right? She has so much. I don't say to swallow. So much on her shoulders. So much to handle that. Good gracious, I couldn't imagine being 18, let alone 21, 22.
Yeah.
You know, having to, if my mom had
Well, I mean, think about it. In real life, when you have friends that are going through a lot, it's not that you don't want to be there for them. You do, but it's exhausting, you know? Yeah. And so I think Bree is a little bit like that. But that kind of brings up a good segue in that, do we think we've seen the last of Frank?
Oh.
You know, how much is Frank going to come back?
I hope not.
this is my, I don't know if we talked about it last year, did we?
I don't know.
Okay, are we talking book or show? Because, of course, show, well, they're both speculation, right? Let's be clear. There's no foreknowledge here. However, in the book series, one of the things, if you listen to our show even like a few times, one of my favorite, it's all Mandy's fault. One of my favorite threads, themes, whatever, is the whole what Frank knew. Yeah. And when Mandy, and I have to say it because I just it still gives me like shivers. So in Voyager, we find out, or is it DIA? Anyway, Frank dies in a car crash, right?
Yep. We think.
Hold on. So after book eight, Mandy and I were talking about Moby.
Yeah.
And she says, out of her mouth comes, I wonder if Frank's death was an accident.
Yeah, I mean, I think after all the events that happened in book eight, you have to re-question, you know, kind of revisit. Ugh. Was it just a random car crash or?
And the reason, if I'm not mistaken, Mandy, and she like connected this for me. And again, pure speculation because we're not Diana and we don't have the books. But her thought was, if you've read book 8, I'm not going to say all the stuff that happened, but all the stuff that happens in book 8, the letter she finds under the desk, all those things, you're like, holy cajocus. There's so much, like, and Diana has said, and always, many people say, once a spy, once a spook,
once
always
a spook. Always a
once
spook.
A spy, always a spy. So he had knowledge of the Fraser prophecy. He had knowledge of the Brachan Seer prophecy. He had knowledge of stuff and baddies that pop up in 8. That, of course, make me love Bree even more at that point. That makes you think, like, by the time she finds that thing under the desk, the tape is like, it was left there like since the 50s or something. The tape is old and crackly. The letter is kind of crackly. How much had he been planning? How much did he know and when, you know what I'm saying? So that when Diana popped out with, yeah, I'm going to write a book at some point, what Frank knew, and I could be wrong, but the first time I heard her announce that was on the stage in Sacramento at the library when she did her book tour for Moby, and she said that, and I heard it, and I was like, excuse me? That, honestly, to me, that's the most interesting thing in the entire series.
Well,
because it's a mystery.
Yeah, and I think it brings up new questions with the show, too, because, I mean, how many people got a really good look at that apartment in Boston? How many people think a college professor could afford the apartment in Boston? I think he's getting money under the table.
No, it's just Outlander has such great set design. Of course they're not going to make something that doesn't look amazing.
Well, they had the Paris apartment. They had to reuse it.
They couldn't have fit all the cameras into a smaller apartment, so.
I've been to Boston, though. It's like, that is not what most of them look like.
So what do you guys think? Have we seen The Last of Frank? Books, TV, adaptation, what have you?
I hope not.
You hope not? Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, first of all, can I just say.
Friend of Frank, sorry.
No, I've never hated Frank. But as soon as we got Tobias, I was like, come here, Frank.
Right? And I will say.
No, I like to see more of Frank.
I mean, every time I post something on either the website or on our Facebook page about Frank, like there was some set photos of him on season 4. Don't know if it's actually going to make it into the show, but people were like, get out of here. Why are you still around? Like, every time. There are people with very, very strong opinions on Frank, and honestly, I just love Tobias so much that I do not care. Yeah. So if he shows up for like a minute, I'll be happy. And I think there's even, you know, we have 5 and 6 now greenlit, but, you know, there's always the possibility of flashbacks throughout this entire series, going back to Frank or BJR. I don't, you know, you never know. I think Frank's more of a possibility, but I'm just hopeful that maybe we'll see just, you know, like a minute a season would be great. Chris Parnell.
And I will say, I feel about Frank in the adaptation almost the same way I feel about Gone with the Wind. For those people who've read the book versus seen the movie, they're both great, but they cut out all the humanizing parts of the Scarlett O'Hara character in the movie because they wanted to focus on her being a, you know. And so I kind of feel like they did the same thing with Frank. They cut out all the things and all the things that made people friends of Frank in favor of just showing him to be a cad who's running around on his wife. And, you know, Diana has been very clear from the very beginning that you don't know what Frank did. And would an honorable man who took her back pregnant, you know, after being gone for 3 years, would he really do that? So,
well, I started the series by reading the fourth book first accidentally. So I have a very skewed view of Frank. So when I started the book, you know, we were all in on the ridge and these are all the people that matter. So when I went back and I realized I need to read all these books now. So I went back and I started at the beginning and I was like, what? Who is this Frank dude? I don't care about him. And then I'm like, where's Jamie? And they kept calling Jamie, young Jamie. And I was like, when do we meet real Jamie? Where's the Jamie that I know? So for me, Frank was something that kept her from being with Jamie, and I wanted her to be back with Jamie on the ridge. So it was hard for me to care about Frank. I cared a lot more about series Frank because I knew the whole story at that point, but I think Tobias Menzies' casting definitely made me care more about Frank for sure. Yeah.
Who loves Tobias? Just be honest.
Oh, yes. There it is. I was like,
who
all
can't
the hands.
Wait for the
Tobias,
crown.
For the record, that was almost every hand.
They could just bring it back in any minor little bit, like the apple.
I mean, you could do an entire. I know people are going to hate this. You could do an entire episode of a Frank flashback.
Flashback. Frank backs.
I think people would. I don't know.
Who says they're not going
like to?
I would
like to throw it back to my April Fool's joke where I did do that. There was going to be a whole Frank episode and people lost it. And my annual April Fool's jokes probably. People never read past the headlines, so I think the year before I said that it was going to be premiering in January, and up until the actual premiere date, people were still saying that to Diana, and she's like, I've never, where did that come from? So April Fools, April 1st, just actually read past the headline with any Outlander news, because people will still be repeating that to me, but just going back to a whole Frank episode, people were like, what? No, I will stop watching. I'm canceling Stars. So.
Yeah, but how?
I think you have to embed it in the story for it to have that meaning. And I think that's where the flashbacks have really made the most difference, is that when it explains the backstory of that. So I think that's the part that has to happen.
But didn't we get some great new characters in season 3? You know, I mean, not only like brand new characters, but like grown-up characters, because I'm completely in love with older Fergus. So I always like Fergus in the books, but I didn't think he was that good looking.
So new characters in season 3.
Yeah.
Who?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord John.
Okay, so we have David Barry as Lord John Grey.
And he was jet-lagged and having just flown from Australia and have a baby. Imagine what the man's going to be able to do with sleep, you know, when he's actually, like, you know, acclimated.
Yeah.
I have not yet. I am saving it for winter binge-watching. Yeah.
I think, like, young Ian, John Bell, I think is fabulous. Just the humor and the kind of light-eyed, and I'm doing a reread of this book right now, and every time young Ian speaks, I'm like, I can see that immediately of him having the perfect facial expressions and like, what? And, you know, and sticking his foot in his mouth as much as possible. So I just think that John Bell's like the perfect actor for that.
Well, and conversely, I'm looking forward to him growing as Ian grows and goes through what he goes through. You know, I'm not going to spoil it for people who don't know. Okay, fine. I'm really looking forward to all of the Indian stuff. And I'm looking forward to the what do they say?
The Mohawk
Nation. The Mohawk Nation. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that stuff the most. I know that I just totally skipped ahead, but that and Rollo.
And we want credit. We want credit because we were on tour in Scotland when they set up the Mohawk village for filming, and our tour guide, who's a friend of ours, figured it out because her mom like stumbled over them setting it up in the woods, and we didn't go down and look at it.
So well, they were blocking people, yeah. which they don't normally
yeah,
do.
Yeah, but we had insider Scotland. Knowledge. We could have gotten around it.
We could have probably, but it was in the woods outside of Pit Lockery, which they've released photos now. But. Yeah.
So who are the others? So we have Lord John Grey, young Ian, Fergus, adult Fergus, season 3.
Yeah, season
and who
three.
Else, sorry? Yeah.
We'll get to season 4.
Marsley.
Yeah.
Marsley.
She said it, you guys.
I said it on purpose. Normally, I would say
Marsley.
No.
She says Marsali.
She's not a wine.
Marsali.
Well, yeah. Whatever.
Sorry, when you listen to the book since 1999.
Yeah.
It's in my head, and Davina's in my head, and
yeah, there's
I
a
promise
couple
you,
of
Davina,
things that Davina
Davina's
got wrong.
Not going to change her pronunciation, I don't think, for the next book. We'll see. But I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying it's 20 years almost of aural.
I've never knowledge. Listened to the audiobook, so whatever I've been saying, like Leary, like her name, I always said Lago Hair in when I read it in my head. So when people started saying Leary when the adaptation, I was like, what? Leary?
How did
so
they
it's
make
Lago
that?
Hair.
Well, that's like Gaelic in general.
Yeah.
So many letters.
Yeah. Gaelic, if you're looking at Gaelic, my rule of thumb is whatever you think it should be pronounced like, say the opposite and you'll be closer. Yeah. Too many silent letters. Letters make other sounds.
Willie. Young Willie.
Oh, I know.
Young Willie. Yes.
Looking forward to grown up adorable. Willie Moore. So
I'm looking forward to him falling into an outhouse.
Because little Willie was mostly a brat.
That scene.
I love that someone, when Willie was mentioned for, you know, season 4 or something, someone on Twitter asked, like, I think it was Meryl or somebody, that, you know, if Sam was going to be doing young Willie, and I was like, huh? Let's not do that.
He can look young, but not that young.
Yeah.
He's only like, I was like, yeah, he's only like 9 or 10 or something.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment about little Joni.
Oh,
she's existent in book 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little sentence or two. But she was just wonderful in the TV version.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And she was seen on a season 4 set, so.
She'll be back.
Hopefully.
She was like a little heartbreaker, right? She was
adorable.
She was featured way more in the series than she was in the book, but in the few scenes she was in the series, she just like broke your heart, man. Like,
was that the one played by Cora Sang?
I don't remember
her name,
the actress's name, but yeah. She was.
I can't keep them straight. I'm sorry. too many Murray kids.
No.
Okay, yeah, so no. Does anyone love Leary in this room?
Yeah.
No.
Character or actress portrayal?
No, Hudson, it's
no, I'm saying actress portrayal. Good Lord, people.
No. April 1st.
Yeah. If she makes you hate her, that she's doing exactly what she's supposed to do.
There you go. Yeah. That's a true...
Anything we haven't touched on season 3?
Yeah, anything. Yeah.
What?
Geneva.
Huh. She's a one-off, definitely, because she's dead.
I like Isabel more, though. Yeah. I mean, I loved Isabel. I never connected with her in the book, and in the show, I'm like, darn, she's got everybody's number and knows what she wants and got it.
Isabel breaks your heart, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because she didn't get what she thought she got.
I think everyone was like, I want Jenny to be my best friend, and I was like, I want Isabel to be my best friend. I'm like, she's the one who's going to watch your baby when you have to run off and hide from redcoats and do all of those things. I mean,
do you have a comment?
So I had a question.
Uh-huh.
Since the book and the show are different, obviously, but one thing that I questioned was, since the show showed that Jamie knew that Leary took Claire to trial, how could he still marry her?
That's a butterfly effect.
I think
until Claire told him, like,
I the production just decided to shove that under the rug and ignore it.
No, that's, I mean, that's why they inserted that other like side thing when they were at the Fraser clan
house.
Yeah, that's why they inserted all that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. all that Leary stuff that wasn't in the book.
Yep, still don't like her.
You know. No.
Yeah. Yep.
Diana came to Albuquerque last year for what we call the Bubonicon.
Oh.
Bubonic plague still in New Mexico. Yeah, that's a good selling point right there.
That's not on the visitors' brochures.
So she commented about that segment, mm-hmm. and basically what had happened is the original script was not that, and then the actress who plays Mary, whose name I'm blanking
on. Nell Hudson.
So she's in Victoria.
Yes.
And Annette Badland was doing Midsummer Mysteries.
Yes.
And they couldn't get them on the set together because of their filming schedules. So they had to, in one day, tear up that whole script and make a whole new one. And that's kind of why that episode is such a mission.
Yeah. Hmm.
Production, you know.
Production. Okay.
Can we talk about Murtaugh
being...
We debated whether that belonged in season three or season four, but we figured it affects four more. So, yeah.
We're going to include that in the... yeah, of course. Yes.
Go.
We're going to go on to season four, and we will come back to you, we promise. Okay, so season four. Of course, as we said, books, no. But television-wise, this is now pure speculation, right? Because it hasn't premiered yet. Okay, so what do we know? We know that Jamie, Claire, help me.
And the new
Ian.
World.
Young yeah. Ian
Fergus.
Have landed. Well, no, not yet. Did they? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so everybody and the baby are in the New World. Excuse me, the colonies of Georgia.
Well, Marsley was not
Marsley
there
is
yet
somewhere
in the book. Yeah,
I think on the show though, she's
this is
on
show.
The boat.
Yeah.
Well, we don't.
Well, she was
we
on the boat, but
we weren't shown them. The closing was Jamie and Claire. But are we to assume that because they were said, oh, there's a shipwreck, everybody else is down there, or whatever, right? Yeah. So from what we are assuming. Young Ian, Fergus, and I will do my best. Marsley,
there it is.
Are there with the boat? Okay. So in the book, of course, Fergus and Marsali stayed back because they were there long enough for her to get pregnant, and they knew it. It was far enough along that they knew it. So they're like, yeah, she's not going to travel. Okay. So that's a slight difference, but again, that's actually kind of awesome that they're all kind of all together. Okay. It also prevents or. Does not necessitate Fergus being absent, so it offers potentially more character possibilities or scenes. Also, allows them to be there and not off camera, off screen. Okay, so we know that they're all there. We know that a nice family took them in-ish to help them, like, get dressed out of their rags. What else do we know?
We know there will be flashbacks because Tobias was seen on set.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We know there's a dog.
We know there will be Native Americans, First Nations.
Yeah, we're going to see Murtaugh.
Yeah, because last time we saw him, he was in a jail cell and then marching off to the...
Yeah, the last time we saw him,
to indentured servitude.
But there was a lot of speculation, you know, when he first showed up in season three, you know, among book fans who knew, you know, all the characters that... Were they going to try to conflate the Murtaugh character with Duncan Ennis and have, you know, that whole storyline play out? But if I remember right, somebody backed me up on this. Didn't Diana say somewhere that that's not what they're doing? That don't worry, Duncan Ennis is still there. Okay, so I thought I remembered that, but they couldn't remember, so.
Which creates its own challenges all by itself, right. Because
so
Duncan Ennis' character really was the new Murtaugh in the colony. So I don't know. That's going to be
it would
interesting...
Be, wouldn't it be interesting if he stays and if there is a Duncan Ennis and Duncan Ennis does the thing that he needs to do, which is stay with Jocasta, stay at River Run, and then again, pure speculation, Murtaugh is there and he stays on the ridge.
I just think he didn't look that healthy in prison.
That's true.
I don't know how long he's going to last.
He was a little coffee in the jail.
Well, I just don't know what purpose he's going to fill. That's what I can't figure out is what, there has to be a purpose other than just people, everybody loved Uncle McCoy, which, I mean, I loved him, but I mean, I just... Right, to find.
Right.
Yeah. Could be. It may just be a made-up plot line.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you... Yeah, because if you remember in book four, one of the things that the deal that they get is signing the whatever you call it with agreement with Governor Tryon.
The land grant.
The land grant. And in return, he, when needed, will call people to arms or gather a militia, right? So one of the things that he's doing, even after he signs it, but before anything like that happens, one of the things he does is he, I believe he goes as well, but he also sends people. He's like, look, I'm going to go out. Or he told, I think it was in the book, Duncan, to go out and, like, find our men. Find our, the Ardsmuirmen, right? Ardsmuirmen. So find our men and tell them, like, I can't have them here. I will care for them here, right? And he goes out and finds them. And wouldn't it be nice
Duncan
if he finds Murta
him?
On a roundup?
Duncan finds Murta, who's played by Duncan.
He loved, like, Murta is like a separate thing from just being an
artist.
Like,
oh, no, yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
Family.
Like, if he knows Murtaugh's alive, and he knows that Murtaugh was transported to the mm-hmm. Like, as soon as he gets Young Ian back, his next order of business, I would think, if he's true to character, would be a fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the question becomes, in this search, are Jamie and Claire together? Do they get separated? All that kind of stuff, because then there's tension with that. But, you know, I mean, I love Fraser's Ridge. I want to see him on Fraser's Ridge. But the one thing I'm really looking forward to for this next season is I want to see Roger singing at the Highland Games with Bree. So, and I happen to know a certain someone has been practicing. So I expect to see a lot more of Roger and Bree this season than we saw last season.
Literally.
Oh no.
Well then.
I've already said I need times at which I need to look away from the screen.
If you listen to our latest episode, if you listen to our show at all, you know I don't love reading a lot of like graphic stuff. But if you listen to our latest episode, it's the episode of the discussion, chapter 40 of Drums of Autumn, Virgin Sacrifice. Well, where that happens, right? In the shed. And so let's just say I took my notes, and as I was reading, I was like, damn, I took too good of notes. Because I was like reading stuff that I don't need to be reading on the show. But whatever. Outlander fans are like, that's not a problem, Ginger. I get it. But yeah, so that's fresh in my mind. So yeah, I think we will be seeing a little bit more of them. So what are we forgetting anyone as far as new characters? They haven't shown up yet. Okay, people we don't have yet but are coming in for.
Stephen Bonnet.
Oh, Bonnet. Yeah.
Jocasta.
Jocasta.
Oh, Jocasta. Phaedra and Ulysses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, my gosh. So basically everybody. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
Ulysses, Phaedra.
Yeah. I mean, with...
And the twins.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, who?
Twins.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Lizzie. Yes, Lizzie Weems. The twins.
Has Stars ever had a threesome on?
Yes, they have.
Okay, I don't watch the other kids.
Who could do? I mean, I know it involves the twins, kind of sideways-ish, the Beardsleys. Yeah. But who could kind of do without the whole scene where they come up on that, the half, the man, the husband who had a, but. Stroke eye. Yes. It was interesting. Oh, you know, maybe not. Everything is so intertwined in Diana Gabaldon's universe. It's like you take one thing out, and you can absolutely do that, but like if you take this thread out, you just have to be very good. I know the writers are ridiculously amazing, but yeah, so they're more amazing than my feeble mind can handle, because I'm not, that's not my job, that's not what I'm paid for, so I'm not paid anything.
That's the other interesting thing this season, though, is
so good.
We've got a lot of new writers.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how much difference you can tell and who writes what.
Which I think works, because with each new location, it's a whole new cast of people. So the only people that are, you know, that are always the same, and you're going to have your Jamies, your Claires, your Breeze, your Rogers, and those. But all of the side and auxiliary characters are new every season. So if you have new writers writing those people.
Keeps it fresh. It's good.
Absolutely.
It does. Absolutely.
Totally. Absolutely.
As long as they never get rid of Tony.
No, yeah, we need Tony.
I'd love to.
Tony broke my heart with the Witch Trial, killed me again with Faith.
Oh,
And then half Tony and Matt both co-killed me with Print Shop. So, I mean, yeah.
I like Matt better when he writes with somebody else, though. Yeah. I mean, I like Matt. He's a true fan, but sometimes I feel like he tries too hard to make the book stuff go in, even if it's not where it's supposed to be. And I mean, I like what he does, but I like Tony. I like Tony better.
So who's, okay, we mentioned Stephen Bonnet. Is he the biggest, I mean, there are minor characters that kind of like rub you the wrong way or whom you may, we don't love, but he's the biggest baddie in before, right?
Bonnet's the new BJR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and he doesn't go away right
well,
away.
Well, until book six.
He, like BJR, he keeps showing up for several books.
Yeah. There was a question over there. I want to make sure we don't forget you. Oh, that's okay.
Oh, Willoughby was great. I think he's one of those characters I almost liked better on screen than in the book.
Yeah.
I could relate to him. He's one of those you kind of had to see to believe.
I mean, I just...
But I always struggled with that because going back and reading it again through the lens of having watched the season and seen the portrayal they did, I wonder how much of that caricature was created by me.
100%. Yeah. How much of it was me
exactly. So I go back through and I'm like, okay, I need to look more at myself before I start judging whatever on a character. But
I also think we need to remember that Claire was seeing it as a woman born in in the Great War in 1918. She wouldn't have had sort of the nuanced eye for
Well, I mean, that was the pretty close to the time in which this country does not have a good history with how we were teaching and treating Chinese and Asian Americans.
So we're also seeing it through her filter. Mm-hmm.
So doesn't make it right. It's just what was. Yeah, no, I'm just saying. Yeah.
But, so when we see the portrayal that the showrunners that they created for the screen is maybe we're seeing without Claire's.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how they're going to treat slavery too, because I mean it's a tough question. I mean, how do you make it feel real but not make it feel exploitative?
So,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's a tightrope.
I mean, I just want to mention just as the season has progressed and the fan base has progressed along with ratings. You know, we're now attracting. I wouldn't say better actors, but more well-known actors. So we have Maria Doyle Kennedy and then freaking Billy Boyd. I was like, what? So we've got like Orphan Black, The Tudors, and Downton Abbey, and Lord of the Rings. I mean, hello, just even like minor characters. It's just like, yeah, it's a step up. And it's still great to see like unknown actors being cast in major roles too, because obviously Sam and Katrina, when they were cast, nobody knew them. And now we all love them. So I just think it's nice that the show has still continued to recruit new talent, but also that we're attracting these other major actors that kind of will bring their fans with them to the show, because I know Lord of the Rings people and a Billy Boyd fans will probably watch, and Maria Doyle Kennedy fans will also watch. So it's nice.
And how cool is it that we know we're getting 5 and 6?
Oh my God!
I mean, we don't have to sweat things for.
We have
for
2 years
before
we have to sweat again. And that happened actually, gracious. Like, swear, I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm really kind of not. Every time, and it's weird. Summer and I went to Scotland in 2015 just for our first trip, just for funsies. And I forget what happened, but I'm sure something was announced at some point then. I don't know what it was, but something happened. Whatever. That's got in my head now. This year we went back in May, and I swear, as soon as we got there, there was the announcement of November. Right? It's for season 4. And then, like, back to back, there was season 5 and 6 pickup, and I was like, dude, we just, can't you wait? It's not a plague, it's not a plan, but everything happens when we leave.
But I wonder if they
obviously
gave us
you should go back over.
Right? Oh, we should go back over. Well, we're working on it.
Yeah. Right.
But I also wonder if they gave us 2 seasons to temper the fact that there's going to be a 7-month hiatus in
production.
Between production.
Yeah.
So,
We're going to need new drought.
I mean, we'll have the show. They just won't start filming again.
Correct. Yeah.
Until probably right around when the show actually ends.
We were trying to decide if it starts airing in November, are they going to take breaks for Thanksgiving and Christmas / New Year? So exactly how long a stretch will it air over? So that's going to be really interesting to see.
That's a good question. So let's say, okay, I believe they it makes sense to do so at least for Thanksgiving and Christmas because, I mean, it just makes sense. But if they didn't, would you call in sick to your Thanksgiving dinner?
Done.
Would you say, look, okay.
Is it on a Saturday?
No.
Oh, Lord.
I think it would be on a Saturday.
It's Sundays now.
You know there's another possibility.
No, Sunday. Sorry. They switched to Sunday.
They could drop the whole season at once online. You know, and then still air it every week. Because I think Outlanders
please don't do that.
Then they'll do both. You know,
we will have a heart attack
at night, and we will watch them again at 9 p.m.
I'd be just like a stress ball somewhere if they dropped all the episodes at once.
I would join you in that stress ball. It would grow.
Just saying, it's happening more and more now.
It is. It is.
We do too. We always watch at midnight, and then I watch again at the regular airtime.
You could still make Thanksgiving.
I will have to say, like, this is an honor thing or whatever.
I'm on the East Coast. I live in Atlanta, so it drops at midnight in Atlanta. I know the West Coast gets it at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I personally don't like that because I just feel like at least when it drops right when it starts airing, everyone's seeing it at the same time. Yeah. And then people don't have to mute Twitter or things like that with people who stay up and live tweet or are already, you know, adding Diana and Meryl and Matt about details of the show. Yeah. I think it, like, could you imagine if Game of Thrones did that? Like, dropped it online midnight the day it aired?
Well, the rest of the world got it the day after it aired in the U.S. So, I mean, with Game of Thrones. Until this last year was the first time it aired.
I mean, it just makes it a little bit more complicated. I don't like it because I feel like it, at least when everyone's watching it at the same time, you get to experience it all at the same, and there's no risk of spoiling.
I don't have a show, so I'm an online outlet, so I don't have to worry about that. I like the early start in case there is Gaelic, so I can go find it and figure out where it's from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people work the next day, so.
I'm sorry, I work from home.
Yeah, so can't really do anything about that.
Carmen?
Ask what scene you're most
Oh, that is a great question. I can't believe we didn't think about that.
Okay, I'm going to preface this with every time I say this scene is definitely going to be in the next year, they cut it.
Gremlins.
It's been every season they do this to me. What am I looking for?
Us on our show. Whenever we do it and we publish it, it never shows up. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Holland Games because I want to hear Richard sing. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Then, I mean, that was one of my favorite parts of the book.
I mean, I'm just doing my reread right now, so it's not everything's fresh in my head, but I think just how they do the Brianna and Jamie union, meeting, and just, man, I love those stones. So I love the setting and everything, so I really hope they make it, because they didn't make it for Claire when she went back again, and it wasn't necessary.
I don't think they went back to Kenlock Granite. I can't swear to it.
Oh, really?
But
because they set it up.
Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I'm just forgetting.
I
have a source. I'll find out from one of the Outlandish bakers. She'll know.
I like the moments of humor, so I'm looking forward to the outhouse scene.
Did we see him on set this year?
I don't know.
I don't remember hearing.
You can't not have it.
I understand.
But that's what happens. Yeah. I say you can't not have it, and they cut it every time.
I want to say Bree and Jamie. That to me is, it's between Bree and Jamie union.
It's not a reunion. They haven't met.
Sorry, I was just remembering that scene when he comes across her and she's trying to get something from him and he's like, "You're really good looking, but I'm married."
Somehow it's like looking in a mirror.
I think it's between that and you know what? Something, okay. Oh Lord, this is why I'm afraid. Because we said this about Voyager and it was gone. So we'll see. Okay. One of the things I love that I'm going to preface this with a Voyager thing because it's done. I'm not going backwards, but it's because there's a common thread between these two scenes. I love scenes between Claire and Lord John Grey. And we missed, I think, one of the best scenes. I mean, it turned out beautiful, don't get me wrong, but I did mourn it, but I'm over it. But that book scene is like, oh my God, it's like bam, bam, bam. Yeah.
And I will say, I know this is going back to season three, but one of the things that irked me the most about adaptation is when Jamie told Claire about Willie right away. I'm like, I'm sorry, you just changed the entire season.
I know. So season four, it's another Lord John Grey scene. It's actually more of a sequence. I like to say that sequence more than just a one flash like room. It's the time. Is that better? The sequence when a very, very heavily pregnant Bree is at River Run, and Lord John is there, and he is man. Yeah, we know he likes her daddy, but he is man and mensch enough to step up. Okay, that, and it's so, to me, that is precious. That part is precious. It's just precious.
She blackmailed him into it. She told him, I will tell everyone that you're gay if you don't marry me.
Okay, that's not precious.
That's free for you.
But the my point is the time that they have there at River Run, she's alone.
Yeah.
She's no parents are going to come back. They could be killed. All this stuff. And he is there. And I know she's a little bit of a about it. But
blackmail wasn't why he did it.
No,
correct.
No.
It's not. Correct.
No,
it's not.
Because he was.
No, it's not why he did it. But it did.
She was very clumsy the way she tried it. And
yes.
It. He's usually dealing with those diplomatic circles. Yeah.
Well, that's the difference in time, right? Because back then, everything was subtle and covert. And, you know, 60s were in your face. You know, that's how you dealt with things, so.
But yeah, Lord John. Whew, I just can't. All the Lord John.
Absolutely.
Well, they have
I will
all the
sign
bulges.
Up for that.
All the bulges, right?
Yeah. All the bulges.
My understanding is that Sony owns the rights to everything that was published up until book 7. After book 7, then they've got to renegotiate.
So. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah.
We have access.
Yep.
Yes.
Get off
that! Get on it!
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that's cool. We want that on your priority list somewhere. You know, we'll help you bump it.
How about we finish the series first?
All the books are given. All the books are given.
Okay, with the last few minutes, we're going to turn it over to you guys. Questions, anything,
comments.
You don't have to ask those questions. You can ask each other questions. You can just share your opinion of something. Anything.
If you use the microphone, that'd be great.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier because we are trying
this,
we're doing
always
a video and audio recording.
On the audio part, so if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, come on.
I have a loud voice. I'm
like it.
My favorite scene that I'm looking forward to, and I will preface this by saying that I've only skim read the fourth book, is I am looking forward to Jamie and Bree going at it. I mean, I'm a conflict person.
A lawyer in conflict.
No. So is it that?
Imagine that, but I am so looking forward that she gives it as good as she gets it. So I am.
Because Sam does Mad very well.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh.
Sam does Mad being, you know.
Yeah, well, she's not too shabby at that.
No,
but
I think Sophie
like
can do it.
So I do love her. But
see, now you saying that brings up two different scenes to me. That I see the how they're always like butting heads and blah blah blah. But then there's also the scene when she's like, I should have stopped it, and he physically shows her you could not have stopped it.
Yep.
So that's
not in there. We're revolting, right? There will be rebellion.
It'll be interesting to see the chemistry between Sam and Sophie.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen them on screen yet, so it'll be interesting to see.
I can't wait for that either.
Okay. I think that's about all we have the time for, you guys. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you.
She said for 5 minutes. For our second, and hopefully we'll be back and doing this again next year.
And if you don't have to rush off to the next thing, we are in the Mary Hollis Clark room here at the library. And we have the room for 1 to 3 for you guys to come in, come out, take pictures, visit. Get some tchotchkes, do whatever. So a little Outlander fan meetup.
Yep. All right.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much.
So, not too shabby. One of the things I really enjoyed, although, I mean, I enjoyed it the first time last year in 2017 when we had our first panel at Comic-Con. I really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed both. But something I thought even that was even better this year was that I thought there was even more engagement.
Well, and I liked the repeat offenders. I got excited to see people that I remembered from last year. I'm like, yay,
yeah.
Carmen showed up, or yay.
And something we didn't see, though, I know Sarah pointed it out, and you probably heard it in the audio, is that there was a special guest.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I was super happy and, like, shocked and surprised and, like, that's amazing. And then I was like, oh, well,
Well, you know, I called him out in that moment. Just because I saw him in the corner of my eye shaking his head to something that was being said. And I was like, well, if anyone's going to set the record straight, it's Chris.
That's true. So we really enjoyed. So Chris, in case you are listening, we really enjoyed having you there. I can speak for, I think Summer and I, at least, that we're honored that you came, because it meant a lot that, you know, that you would take time out of your busy Comic-Con schedule in general to come over to that library. And sit with some fans. So thank you guys so much for listening. We really enjoyed sharing this again. And we're so thankful that you return week after week to listen to our little old show.
As always, join us to continue the conversation in our Facebook community. Find us at outlanderpod.com/group.
We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @outlanderpod.